Gavin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than believing everything on your Facebook news feed. Better than that. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix from a remote studio.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Pip. On the show, Facebook getting blowback for allowing so many fake news articles in your news feed, what your iPhone says about you, a new drunks in the news, and we're going to deal with Donald Trump's having a little bit of trouble doing. But we're going to help him because we want our president-elect to succeed. We are going to help Mr. Trump fill his cabinet with some people that he can feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is a celebrity. He's an entertainer. So we feel that's really where he excels. So now he's morphing into the political world and the business world. But we're going to try to fill the cabinet with some celebrities that are really going to enhance Mr. Trump's platform.
We're here to help.
We are patriots. We are here to help Mr. Trump. But before that, I don't know if anybody heard that. Vice President-elect Pence had a day out. he got an off day and he went to Broadway and nothing happened. Not exactly. He went to see the movie.
Lincoln had a better time at the theater.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But anyway, he went to see the show Hamilton. This is CNN's version of what happened, and then we'll discuss it. But here you go.
President-elect Mike Pence, that is who we are talking about. He was in the audience of Hamilton last night on Broadway. So as he entered the theater with his security team in tow, there were boos and there were cheers. Listen. Okay, but then after the show, the stage, it turned into a platform, a political platform for the show's cast and creators. One of the lead actors read this statement addressed to Pence, who is listening in the hallway.
You know, we had a guest in the audience this evening. And Vice President-elect Pence, I see you walking out, and I hope you will hear us just a few more moments. There's nothing to do with it, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing to do with it. We're all here sharing a story of love. We have a message for you, sir. We hope that you will hear us out. I encourage everybody to pull out your phones and tweet and post because this message needs to be spread far and wide, okay? Vice President-elect Pence, we welcome you and we truly thank you for joining us here at Hamilton and American Musical. We really do. We are the diverse America who are alarmed and anxious that your new administration will not protect us, our planet, our children, our parents, or defend us and uphold our inalienable rights, sir. But we truly hope that this show has inspired you to uphold our American values and to work on behalf of all of us. All of us. This wonderful American story told by a diverse group of men and women of different colors, creeds, and orientations.
All right, reading that statement was Brandon Dixon. He plays the role of Aaron Burr. So the reviews are already in this morning about that statement. We're hearing from the president-elect himself right on Twitter. Donald Trump tweeting this, "Our wonderful future VP Mike Pence was harassed last night at the theater by the cast of Hamilton, cameras blazing. This should not happen. The theater must always be a safe and special place. The cast of Hamilton was very rude last night to a very good man, Mike Pence. Apologize."
And we lost Pip. Hopefully Pip will call back. Wait till the end of the clip. And
she's had enough.
She couldn't take it. The controversy. Poor Pip. Call back, stupid. So anyway, Joe. So...
Boy, you just made it.
Pip stormed out. You would think Stupid would call back by now. Anyway, so there's more to it. The producers and the show creator came up with the idea about an hour or two before the show. Wasn't the idea of the cast. They found out VP-elect Pence was going to be there. When booed, I really like this a lot. When booed, Mike Pence told his daughter that this is what freedom sounds like. Mm-hmm. That's a fantastic quote.
Sounds like what our comedy sounds like.
Fair enough. He said he was not offended by the speech. He said the play was wonderful and encouraged people to see it. He said that Trump in his election night speech said he will be a president for all Americans. Trump's fans have started a protest, creating the hashtag Boycott Hamilton. And, of course, it's easy to boycott something you can't get tickets to.
We're not going.
I'll tell you what else I'm boycotting, Joe. I am boycotting the moon.
I'm not going.
No, you can't make me. I don't like the way the moon. I don't like the way the moon is acting, just circling whenever it wants to.
Did you see how it was full, a big super moon last week? Scared everyone.
Yes, full, thinking it is who it is. Joe, we're boycotting the moon.
We're not going, Alice.
All right. So, what do you think of booing politicians?
Well, I mean, he went to a place that was a very, very liberal place. What do you expect? You know, I mean, I don't have a problem with them doing that. What I have the problem with.
You don't have a problem with people booing?
Well, because they have their right to their opinion.
Right. I don't have a real, like, personally, it's not something I would do. I don't think unless a politician did something so egregious. I don't think I would boo him. When President Obama gave his 9/11 address around all the NFL stadiums,
yeah.
It was there. There was a lot of booing. He wasn't there personally, but yeah. They aired the message. There was a lot of booing. Not something I would do. A little disrespectful.
Plus, you know, we haven't even given these people a chance to try to, you know, to try to move things. Hey, who could that be? Devin's dead.
You there?
Yeah.
Hi. What happened? You fell asleep?
She stormed out of the theater.
Yeah.
I said, that's enough for me. No, my phone just went dead.
Yeah, it's had enough of us.
Yes.
The interesting thing about the story is you're getting different opinions from people on the left, on the right, and how they're reacting. It's not strictly a partisan thing where all the people on the right are saying this was wrong and all the people on the left are saying this is right. You're getting crossover on it. You know, I'm kind of mixed about the cast reading President-elect Pence, the statement. On the one hand, I thought the statement's a positive statement, and when are you ever going to get a chance to have this audience and make this impact with somebody so high?
Yeah. Well, my thing was, and it was something that you and I were going back and forth over on the weekend, is the simple
wording. That's when everybody should really check us out on Facebook.
The simple, the simple wording of the phrase, which I had a problem with. I'm going to read it. We welcome you here. We are the diverse Americans who are alarmed and anxious that your new administration will not protect us, our planet, our children, our parents. That's what I don't like. It's assumed that they're not. Now, all he had to do is write, we hope that your administration will protect us, our planet, our children, and our parents.
Well,
that simple adjustment I would be fine with.
I think they were addressing the feeling of many people. I think, and I said, the anxious is real because, as I said to you, and I'll say it here on the radio, where other people besides us can listen, you got to understand, this was the most anti-gay GOP platform ever, where, like, homosexual members of the GOP were actually upset by it. And you got to understand that Governor Pence, Vice President-elect now, wanted to use tax dollars for conversion therapy. I think that's where a lot of the anxiety is. And you also have Donald Trump and Mike Pence, who are climate change deniers. I don't want to get into that whole argument with you right now about whether they should or should not be. But so I think that's where the anxiety comes from.
But you could have showed respect with that simple adjustment.
I don't think they were disrespectful.
Well, no, but you said...
Pence didn't take it that way.
We are alarmed, I know, but we are alarmed and anxious that your new administration will not protect. I mean, right off the bat, you know, that's where there's no respect. If you change the line, we hope that you will change. You're questioning them, but you're showing them the respect in that once. A simple adjustment.
I mean, they called him, sir. They thanked him for coming. I think we're nitpicking there. I think we're really picking nits on that. I thought Mike Pence handled it exceptionally well.
Yeah.
I thought he handled it with a lot of grace, a lot of class.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really need our president-elect when he's trying to put together his cabinet, when he's trying, hopefully, to figure out how to divest himself of all his global businesses. I don't really need him tweeting about this. It just seems something so beneath the position.
He was stating his opinion on how he felt about it, whether right or wrong. Now, that being said, and I mentioned this to you on the Facebook. You really should check out our Facebook.
Friend us. Friend Joe and I on Facebook.
He has to stop cutting back on the tweets.
He commented on it three times. Three times.
Yeah, he's got to relax.
But he's not going to.
Hopefully somebody whispers in his ear. He's got to start to relax.
What, Kelly Conway like to be a Siamese twin? Kelly just going to sit on his lap for the whole duration of the presidency?
Donald, no.
Somebody's got to
No. Just stop like middle where she's working at a desk looks. No.
You just see like her whacking with a ruler as he's tweeting like a bad boy, Donald. Bad boy.
That's like a rehearsal one night. Mike was about to go for the acoustic guitar during the wrong song. I'm like, boss, no! That's what she's got to do.
Now, here was the interesting thing.
Yeah.
Donald Trump tweeted out that the theater should be a safe place. Okay, couple things. Historically, for Republicans, not so much. I tweeted on that, you know, about what Trump said, and Ghost of Abraham Lincoln tweeted, really? But can we all agree that some conservatives and some liberals are babies and they all need a safe space? I mean, really?
Yeah.
Thank you. Because a lot of people on the right like to paint it as the left is just a bunch of pansies. People
and
on both
the
sides.
Other hand, yeah.
I mean, really? We're going to leave with this. We'll come back. I'm going to leave with this. I think the only way this makes sense is if Trump was trying to distract from all of his business entanglements and the fact that he just settled a $25 million lawsuit that he said he would never settle. If Trump just wanted to give some red meat to the press and get them talking about something different, genius move. If not, we got problems. All right. Don't go anywhere. More show coming up. We're back. You are listening to Davin's Den, Joe, Pip, and me hanging out with you. Something I spend way too much time on, Facebook, and a problem that has been the bane of my existence for the past year and a half has finally come to light. According to data from Facebook, a monitoring tool cited by BuzzFeed, the top 20 fake news stories collectively got more engagement, shares, likes, and comments than 20 factually accurate news stories shared by the mainstream news outlets. In first place, Pope Francis shocks the world, endorses Donald Trump for president. I don't remember that one, but I'm sure it was there. Which got 960,000 engagements when it was shared by the site Ending the Fed. Sounds legitimate. The second most popular post cited by BuzzFeed was a Washington Post shared the non-hoax, Trump's history of corruption is mind-boggling, so why is Clinton supposedly the corrupt one? That was a factually correct article from a mainstream news source. So anyway, they said there's growing evidence that the spread of fake news articles had a hand in determining the outcome of the election. Facebook's own research suggests the type of content it shows users can influence them. There's actually an entire political team at a massive office in D.C. that tries to convince political advertisers that Facebook can convince users to vote their one way. That was reported by NPR. BuzzFeed investigation found that teens from Macedonia are responsible for more than 100 pro-Trump websites peddling patently fictional news stories to cash in on advertising dollars. Fantastic. Now, at first, when CEO and creator of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, was originally faced with this, he denied it, said, you know, it's not really our responsibility. But shortly thereafter, he changed. Because originally he said, well, we're not really a media distribution company. We're just a platform. Mm. But he's changed. Because there's more to the story
with the advertising dollars and all of that.
So they're actually working on it. They're calling the problem both complex and technically and philosophically. I can agree with that. He says that while the percentage of misinformation is relatively small, we have much work ahead. He outlined a series of steps which are already underway, including greater use of automation to, quote, detect what people flag as false before they do it themselves. He also said Facebook would make it easier to report false content work with third-party verification organizations and journalists on fact-checking efforts, and explore posting warning labels on content that has been flagged as false. The company will also try to prevent fake news providers from making money through its advertising system, as it previously announced. He said, "We don't want to be the arbiters of truth ourselves, but instead rely on our community and trusted third parties." Okay. Has everybody seen false stories shared on Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
Pip?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I think it had an effect on the election. Does everybody agree with me?
I do, too.
I would.
Okay. Okay. Because here's the problem with these fake stories. People look at them like they're real. And, you know, there was all, like the whole dementia Hillary Clinton thing, for instance. You know, people thought it was real. And it wasn't real. But then when you're trying to prove a point with somebody, you're trying to bring up real facts, and they're using this like these are real facts.
Sometimes there's, you know, with farce or the Daily Show, you know, people were going there for their news when it's actually farce. The Onion, sometimes The Onion.
Well, these are comedy shows. Everybody knows. Everybody should know.
But it's the same thing where it gets out there and people think it's real. And I'm not damning it. I'm just saying that there's another outlet.
But here's the difference. I mean, The Daily Show is on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not CNN.
Right.
You know, The Onion, everybody knows it's a farcical website. It's not like a site called End the Fed, which is claiming, you know, to be a legitimate site.
You're giving some people a little too much credit.
That's
some
the problem.
People, that's, you know, and even though you said that, yeah, and Facebook is also a social media platform. It's not, you know, a news website. Where for stories from Facebook, from Comedy Central, The Onion, get on there. Some of them are ridiculous. You know, our job is to do a show every week. So they tell us, but our job is to do a show every week. We've learned throughout the years that we have to verify stories, make sure they're, you know, true. Sometimes, and I'm guilty as this, sometimes I slip and then I have to go back and double check and check Snopes and this, that, and the other. But nonetheless, that's what we do. That's what we're conditioned to do. A lot of people aren't.
Most people are not.
Yeah.
Which I find exhausting. Ideally, I would not want Facebook or any platform limiting what I see. Ideally, in a perfect world, I would not want that. But I'm going to say, and I've said it before, we are so stupid as a society, so lazy as a society, that if we're going to use social media as a discourse, we now, as a society, have to hand that over to third parties because we can't do it ourselves for the most part.
Well, you got to understand. I mean, people come home from work. They're tired. They just want to go on and browse on Facebook. They're not sitting there to look for hard-hitting news. And they'll see stuff like that. And it's almost like The Inquirer, where you go on and you see
President-elect Trump loves The Inquirer. He calls that a news source. Boy, are we doomed.
I don't think so.
People are not discerning anymore. No. They don't know how to parse what's fact from fiction.
Because
yes. Facts no longer matter.
But you got to and the reason why is proliferation. Thank you.
That's long all right.
Day.
We all have words.
Thank you. But basically 20 years ago, you had three major networks and maybe two cable stations, and that's where you got your news.
And there wasn't so much opinion-based news.
Yeah, it wasn't opinion. That's all you had. So you're getting your – maybe there was a little bit there. But that's where you were. The facts were there. You know
what they had? They had and now it's time for an editorial. Remember that? That's what they used to have on the news.
They used to have a great – I remember the Channel 5 News when I was a teenager. They used to have these two guys go at it.
Right. But you knew that this was just an opinion thing. Now – it's not. And Joe and I argue about memes all the time. But the reason I hate memes is because people believe them. And they're not, I mean, they're cute, they're pictures, but they're not true. So I'm saddened that we've come to the point that we need Facebook to police us because we're a bunch of maroons, but I'm glad it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget, Facebook, even though it's been around, what, 8 years?
No, more than that.
8 years? Maybe you're probably right. Let's say 10 years.
Okay.
All right. It's still a platform that is learning. It's still a medium that is figuring things out.
Right.
And we've had, three elections on there. And, you know,
Now, let's see. We had Obama Romney. I don't know if we had Obama McCain on Facebook.
Okay.
I don't know.
But still, we're still figuring this out. where we're getting our information. I mean, it's we're in a stage of media. It's a new frontier. And daily lives get into this new frontier, how our politics is, who is giving us news. You know, I mean, it's...
I just find it exhausting because I'm somebody who likes to do research. Not, I don't like to do research, but if I'm going to have an argument, I want to have my facts in order.
But not many people are looking to have an argument. Sometimes
No. People are looking to have an argument.
Hear me out.
Not many
people are looking to have an argument. They'll get caught up in it and give their opinion. So if you're just browsing something, you're not looking to, and you see, and you're just going to just retort right off the top of your head.
Why can't they go, that looks like a... No, but instead, what I've noticed is they try to discredit the mainstream media. Now, you have to decipher opinion from fact with the mainstream media.
Yeah, but usually, and I'm being the devil's advocate here. Basically, people are just going on Facebook just to, as a break, as a getaway, and going on there and just, you know, interacting.
I find Facebook exhausting.
But you go on there for different reasons, and you go on there with a different agenda than just the normal person would go on there with.
Pip?
Yeah, I think that it does become tiresome when you have people battling with you using things that are not true. And the whole movement of, well, my opinion is just as valid as your actual fact. No, it's not. These are really important skills that are not being taught in school anymore, as far as I can tell. People cannot judge for themselves the difference between the two.
Right. And now we have to hand that over to a third party to do it for us because we're a bunch of dopes.
It's kind of pathetic.
It is, man. I'm just tired.
Well, you can go with your news somewhere else. You know, you got to understand, Facebook is a private entity, and you know, and they'll have to police it. But
the question is Breitbart a news source? I don't consider it a news source. When somebody links something to Breitbart, I don't even give it.
But Davin, once again, because of what we do, if we see, and I'm right wing, you see something coming from Breitbart, you have to fact check it. This is what we do.
And I do the same thing with the Daily Coast.
But this is what we do. The regular layperson is not going to do that.
Right, which is why we need Facebook to be mommy and daddy, because that's where we are. Thank you, Mommy Zuckerberg.
No, we need people to have enough common sense to go to the real news, go to the regular...
They don't trust the real news, Joe.
Well.
They no longer trust the media, and part of that's because of Donald Trump calling the dishonest media, the crooked media.
Right.
But some parties, right? Because they're based on sensationalism.
Listen, that's because of us. That's because that's what we rely on. Listen, he had points. There are points. They left out things to make Trump look bad. That goes without saying. But it's not what he made it be. So now we can't be in charge of our own media. All right. When we come back, we're gonna keep you hep to what touching your iPhone will tell the world about you. Don't go anywhere. Grubby hands, Joe. Grubby hands. They say a lot about us. They do. So they did this with iPhones. They sampled the molecular traces left on smartphones. This was done by they wanted to sample lifestyle sketches of each phone's user, and they found information about the diet, use of personal hygiene products. Do you douche? use of pharmaceuticals, health status, and locations visited. They said molecular traces will reveal the types of soaps, lotions, shampoo, makeup, food, such as vegetarian versus meat eater or spicy foods, type of drinks, medications, even materials of clothing one uses. This was reported by Dr. Peter Durstein, and he's a professor of pharmaceutical science at UC San Diego School of Medicine.
Yeah, that's interesting that it was pharmaceutical sciences. You would figure it would be forensic sciences that would have something, you know, to do with this.
That is interesting, but forensics is going to use this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's where this is going.
Probably jealous the pharmaceutical people found out before they did.
I don't think they care, just as long as they get their grubby little hands on it, so to speak. Huddle, huddle. So the study was published. November 14th in the Journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. That won't be a thing much longer. The researchers swabbed the phones and the right hands of 39 healthy adult volunteers. Yeah, I'm washing my hands. In several different locations. They used a technique called mass spectrometry, which measures the characteristics of molecules by converting them to ions. They identified and analyzed molecules from nearly 500 samples. This is just fascinating to me.
Yeah.
The information was used to create a personal lifestyle profile for each person, for each phone, which revealed usage of things like antidepressants, antifungal skin creams, hair loss treatments, and eye drops. The profiles also picked up things like citrus, caffeine, herbs, and spices. Some of the traces were months old, suggesting phones can provide a fairly thorough lifestyle sketch.
Yeah, and what's interesting, it's like mass spectrometry, which I wonder if they used what light it would give off with the ions, what light, and I'm just assuming this, I don't know if this is fact, but what light an ion would project due to what characteristic was, it was from.
I have no idea. I guess
that's all science stuff.
It's all science.
Well, you know what? That's really similar to something I was watching on television about gemstones and their chemical makeup,
mm-hmm.
and why their chemical makeup actually has a big influence on what color the gemstones show up when light passes through them.
Right.
So I think that a lot of that has to do with what the actual atomic makeup. It does show up a different color, and that's how they can tell what it is actually in the skin sample, for example.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, I think you're right.
I have no idea if you're right, but sure, it sounds good.
Let's go with it. Yeah. Shut up, stupid.
I'm admitting I'm stupid when it comes to this.
We're being informative.
Well, okay. Okay, you guys are. I'm just going, yep, sounds right to me. I don't know. No idea. She could be completely wrong.
After the whole segment we just did on fact-checking. Check on, I guess so.
Sure.
You hit with a light.
I mean, Pip didn't say that what she was watching about gemstones was actually QVC. And she was picking up some stuff, but,
Shush, ixnay on the QVC in A Bay.
Yeah, sure. The pretty lady was showing off a bracelet.
We just put our foot down for 10 minutes on facts, and then we go to the next day. I guess is how they
No. You guys did. I didn't speculate. You guys went out there and wanted to be authority on the science. I'm just reporting the news. You guys wanted to be smarter. So
funny.
That's on you. Somebody can fact check you two.
Right.
No, I was actually watching a good television program, uh-huh. and they were showing like the light that bounces off of boron, not the light.
Not moron.
Yeah, not moron.
Boron on QVC.
There's a light coming off of Joe's head.
And bouncing right off of yours.
Oh, that's hurtful.
No. Stupid.
All right, Pip, you watch Nova. Good for you. Pip still watches PBS Show Off. Did you get your tote bag, stupid?
Oh, that's funny. Was Nova on? Funny.
Well, they don't have Sesame Street anymore, so Pip's just clicking around. all right, back to information, hopefully. The traces allowed researchers to make extrapolations about a person's lifestyle, determining things like whether the person has a healthy diet, whether they're a smoker, and whether they spend a lot of time outside. Dorenstein noted this is based on only 2% of the available data. He thinks that profiles could be much more complete. He said this type of molecular information is transferred primarily via touch. Imagine what they could get from your private show.
Oh, boy.
There's a lot of DNA on here.
Somebody a chocolate. But also
funny.
But also from surfaces upon which you put your phone down on. So like the table, the study's authors explain. The researchers are extending their investigation to keys, wallets, and other personal items so they might obtain similar results. They say by analyzing the molecules they left behind on their phones, we could tell if a person is likely female, uses high-end cosmetics, dyes her hair, drinks coffee, prefers beer over wine, likes spicy food, is being treated for depression, wears sunscreen and bug spray, and therefore likely spends a lot of time outdoors. All kinds of
things. Sounds like a dating site questionnaire.
I guess we could use this for dating.
No.
Just touch this.
It sounds like they're talking about me.
What?
It sounds, except for the spicy food, like they're talking about me.
I was kind of thinking like it did have a lot of your characteristics.
Yeah.
They should swab the hoard.
Oh, no.
Swab the hoard.
I'm analyzing all of the stuff that would be on there.
Oh, my God. There's cat litter.
Everybody line up.
So they think that investigators can narrow this down to find a friend and object's owner. So if you lost something, theoretically, they could trace it back to you.
By scraping off the little bits of DNA that you leave on it?
Yeah. But then again, who's gonna take a missing smartphone to the science lab? I mean, you know, you'll leave something behind at Motel 6. There's other you're not going to the scientists with it.
It's like, no, dude, you can actually keep it, okay? Ew.
But it is. To me, it's a little concerning that they can find so much about us with this. I mean, it's good and it's bad.
Well, it's just...
Forensic scientists are able to profile a lot about people already anyway.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like if you want to maintain your privacy, you have to wear a glove now.
No. Who has time to scrape the DNA off of everybody's phone?
Well, it's just on how evasive. Pretty much it'll probably be used in, you know, criminal investigations.
I hope that's how it's used. All right, when we come back, Drunks in the News. Donald made me do it. Don't go anywhere. We're going to do a segment that we love here, an old classic, a little Drunks in the News. Let me get the volume queued up.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
Let's see. So we like to start with our Benjamin Franklin drinking term. He was one of our patriots, one of the founders of this nation, and he liked to imbibe, and he came up with some good terms for it. So this week's Benjamin Franklin drinking term, if you are drunk, it's called killed his dog. That sounds terrible.
That's awful.
Killed his dog?
I don't think PETA would approve, Mr. Franklin. But yes. So Joe, when you're celebrating Thanksgiving and you head on over to the compound and you have a couple of ice cold beverages and you get a little too far out of hand, you will have killed his dog.
Oh,
killed
boy.
Your dog.
I feel bad.
You
poor
should.
Pooch.
You killed Fido, stupid.
But it's time for shots.
It's time for shots. Let's
is
there
anything like screw the pooch?
No. It is kind of like that. That's when you've drank too much too. The Donald made me do it. Elizabeth L. Lundberg, 33, was arrested Wednesday evening after she rear-ended a vehicle in Lino Lakes, causing her to crash into the back of another car. Responding officers said Lundberg was slurring her speech, had watery and bloodshot eyes. In fact, she had killed her dog. She seemed generally confused, and so the other drivers escaped with minor injuries. Officers said Lundberg was unable to spell her name, but she was able to articulate a reason why she couldn't be arrested. Lundberg,
oh my goodness.
Lundberg allegedly told them, "I am set over the outcome of the election, and you shall let me go home," according to a post. And they posted this.
Oh my goodness!
The department posted this on Facebook. Officers elected not to follow her advice, especially after they allegedly found an empty vodka bottle in her purse, which they said was saturated with liquor, according to the Minneapolis Star-Tribune. Lundberg was reportedly argumentative with officers and was taken to the Lionel Lakes Police Department after she failed field sobriety tests. While attempting to give a breath sample, Lundberg reportedly lost her balance, grabbed the breath testing machine, and broke it.
You're going to pay for that. We just bought that thing.
Because
what a great tactic to take out the breathalyzer. Yeah.
Not really. So they took her for a ride. They went down to Centennial Lakes Police Department, and they tested her blood content, and it measured 0.33, which is four times the legal limit. Lundberg has been charged on gross misdemeanor charges of criminal vehicular operations, third-degree driving while intoxicated, and connection with the crash. She could face a year in jail and $3,000 per charge. All right. Has an election driven you to drink?
Yes.
A presidency has.
I think it's a valid excuse that I was drinking because I'm so upset about it. I don't think it's a valid excuse, but then I got in the car and decided to drive.
Well, yeah, it's a valid excuse if you're hanging out in a bar. If you're hanging out in traffic, that's a problem.
That really is. It's like, that wasn't vodka in my purse, officer. I was just marinating my wallet.
Thank you. are listening to The Den. Oh, it's been a fun show thus far. A lot of informational stuff. We're going to end that. So we've seen President Lynch. He's trying to fill his cabinet. Actually, at one point he called them finalists, which I thought was...
He did?
So he did. He tweeted out finalists. He did, and I said he should run it like Celebrity Apprentice, because who wouldn't want to see Rudy Giuliani on the streets of New York begging people to buy his cupcakes so he can be Secretary of State?
They're really delicious.
So, listen, he's got 4,000 jobs to fill. I mean, that's really what it is before January 20th. So we want him to succeed. So we thought we would build from celebrities, you know, Donald Trump's world, people that he could be comfortable with in his cabinet. We're trying to help out President-elect. So we each tried to fill five positions. Pip, fill a first position.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about the Department of Transportation, and I think Chris Christie's a gimme.
It is a gimme?
I hear he has expertise in bridges.
He most certainly does. A bridge too far. I went with the Department of Labor. And I thought Michelle Duggar of TLC's 20 and Counting. I figured she has 20 she has 20 children, so I figured nobody knows labor like her. She's a female hire, which he needs so far. And she also claims to be very religious, which should make the conservatives happy. A lot of the evangelicals support of Donald Trump. So I thought that would check a lot of boxes. Joe?
Secretary of State, I want Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci?
Yeah.
Why not?
They come in with a My Cousin Vinny suit going, I'm going to tell you guys, this is what I want. You give me ISIS, you understand?
He's gonna break some ankles.
That's right.
All right, Joe, give me another one.
I would have a new cabinet position, Secretary of Insanity, and that would be Kanye West. I think if there's anybody that's been crazy, I think Kanye West is the perfect person. He's very outspoken, and he's out of his mind.
You know, he did say he would have voted for Trump.
Yeah. See? And that's why he deserves this position. We had to create something for him.
Chief of Staff. I know it's already been filled by Reince Priebus, but I have a better choice. For Chief of Staff, I go Ron Jeremy.
Because of his staff?
Yeah, well, it's a legendary staff. It would be a Jewish hire for the cabinet. Plus, when nobody is around and the top of grabbing female privates comes up, I think Ron could give the Donald some good pointers. Pip?
Well, you know, this might be a little inside, but I thought that this would be a show favorite for the Department of Treasury. It would have to be Yuliana Love's boyfriend, Craig, because he knows how to make magic money.
There you go.
He drum up some business.
I guess we're calling him a celebrity, but that works. Give me another one.
Let's see. I think for the Department of Defense, Dr. Dre. Because he managed to live through Compton and the East-West rap wars. I think he's tough enough.
That's interesting. For the Department of Agriculture, I wanted co-secretaries for that. I gave it to Cheech and Chong. I figure they know how to grow things in places you wouldn't expect it to grow. And it's a nice nod to include two Mexicans in his cabinet.
I was going to pick them. I thought I was going to get a really. So.
Why? Why would that be a really? This whole thing is really. I don't think he's really going to consider these. All right, what do you got?
I would say for Attorney General, Judge Judy.
Judge Judy?
Yes. I think Judge Judy would be a fine... Oh, boy. If he decided to prosecute Hillary, that would be great. You know, Judge Judy would rip her apart.
You think?
Yeah.
I think he's going to... that judge on Fox, I think he's going to go with.
Oh, Judge Jeanine.
Yes, Judge Jeanine.
Oh, I love when she comes on. She starts yelling at everybody. She's like, you think she's mad at you when she comes on TV.
Listen, slow down on your Jeanines, okay? That never works out well for you. I know you're enthusiastic, but as your pal, slow your roll.
Long car ride home.
Oh, come on now. No, it's okay. Just a bit. Joe doesn't need a talking to outside the ones he gets in between commercial breaks here. give me another one, Joe.
Ambassador of United States Trade Representative, Mr. Haney from Green Acres.
It's lost on me.
Oh, Mr. Haney used to be a salesman on Green Acres. And he would always try to sell, hey, Mr. Douglas, I got this perfect deluxe tractor. And I think Mr. Haney would be perfect for selling stuff to the other countries.
Pip?
I love that. I'm old enough to remember him.
Yeah. Pip, what do you got?
I I think for the Department of the Interior, call the stars from HGTV. They'd freshen up the look, maybe add some shiplap and upcycled items. It would be fabulous.
For United States Trade Representative Theo Epstein, he was the GM of the Red Sox and now the Cubs. His trades have ended two historic droughts for two of baseball's most famous franchises. His trades were a big reason why they have both won championships in recent years. He's a winner. Trump likes winners. Plus another Jewish guy. So it quells the enthusiasm of anti-Semites on the alt-right. It makes a statement. Theo Epstein. All right. Anybody else got any more? What do we got?
Well, I had a couple of comparative, like I had a couple of ones that I had my own ideas for Secretary of Treasury Scrooge McDuck.
That's a cartoon.
I know.
At one point, I actually called Donald Trump Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah. but we could bring him in.
Okay.
We have a cartoon running our treasury.
I'm going to be nice and say, I'm not going to talk more about cartoons. Is that all?
No, I think a perfect person for Secretary of Transportation, Vin Diesel.
Oh, cool.
Well, not Paul Walker.
Not Paul Walker, Vin Diesel. No, Vin Diesel, because he could scrounge up cars really quick, and he's a pretty fast mover. He'll get things moving.
Okay. He's got the right look.
And look damn good doing it.
Yes, he does. Pip?
I had one for the Department of Commerce, my Uncle Bob, because he pinched pennies until they were no longer copper on a molecular level.
Wow. I got one more. Does anybody else have any more?
I got one more. I got a new position I'm creating.
All right.
Secretary of the Pantry. That would be Chris Christie.
Well, he's already got the transportation department. Right. Right. He's going to do double duty?
Yes.
Okay.
He could work off some of that weight.
Oh, that was a fat joke.
Yeah.
Pip, any more?
No. You know what? I tried to think of somebody for Veterans Affairs, but I think no one. I think whoever veterans want to have affairs with is nobody else's business.
There you go. My final one, Press Secretary, Sarah Palin. Donald Trump clearly has issues with the media, and nothing would frustrate them more than Sarah's word salad as she tries to explain policy decisions. She's a Trump loyalist, a Tea Party darling, and another female. I think it works on all levels. And it would piss off Joe.
Perfect.
So that works for me personally. All right. Joe, anywhere?
I forgot. go to Facebook. Joe Curry on Facebook. I got all my stuff there.
All right. Thursday, December 1st through Saturday, December 3rd, I'll be in Fort Myers, Florida at the Laugh Inn Cafe. For tickets, call 239-479-5233. 239-479-5233. Follow us on Facebook, Davin's Den. Follow us on Twitter, at Davin's Den. Anyway, all right, I think that's the end of the show. Is it not, Joe?
Yes, it is.
All right. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us...
Tell no one.
Either way...
No one.
Yeah. Either way, keep on listening.